I'm J.R. Jackson, everyone. And I know you know this, but it's definitely. With a twist. This time I'm on this side, and then we've got David Schuster here.
Right from the start, go blue. This is a very, very, very happy December, JR, as you know. It's really happy.
What happened?
Well, so this Michigan football team, which has been pretty miserable, they haven't been so bad, but they haven't been championship caliber for a long time. They're playing in the college football championships, as you know. They're playing at Georgia in the semifinals on New Year's Eve, and if they win, they'll play the winner of Alabama and Cincinnati. How about it? Michigan is in the championship conversation.
I've been rooting for you guys all year, bro. I was mad if you guys aren't ranked number one, because I think that's the way it should have been. But I'm going to shove that aside for now, but I will give my congratulations. I'm very glad you're here today to make sure that we get that out. All the Michigan fans out there, that was my number two school behind the best school in the country, USC. So I have a little bit of love left.
And JR, I've got so much love for you that even if Michigan was having a terrible football season, I would still join you anytime. Anytime you're on the air, it's a pleasure to be on with you.
Hey, I love it. Now, by the way, if you guys didn't know by now, it's David Schuster. He's often imitated, but never duplicated. But we have the original here with us today. But outside of Big News Wednesday, and of course, it's JR Wednesdays, we're not Dragon Squad today because there's no John. We can't do all that stuff. I tried with this shirt. I don't know what it means, but I'm trying. Just to please you guys. But number two, no Dragon Army today. We 100% have the wacky inflatable arm tube man army that we're going to start up. Here we go. Oh, we're here. We're in the house today. We're taking over. Where are the dragons at now? Where are the dragons?
Sorry, all right, that's loud. Back off. Do you see what that says? Oh, yeah. Anyway, okay.
It's a festive day. We're bringing all kinds of themes, but I know we have lots of stories to get to, but I did want to make sure that you guys understand who you're dealing with today. You guys are not dragons. We need some inflatable tube man names, and we're going to go with that just today because the takeover has begun. Ready to get this started, David? I guess we're going to go straight to a little bit of seriousness, a little bit of expertise. Ready to get it going?
Yeah, let's do it.
Now that Senator Joe Manchin, has effectively killed the Build Back Better Act with his voicing that he's absolutely a no on it. There's some Republicans that are very happy with him, which we all have seen before. But now they're wondering, maybe he may want to just join us fully, take off the mask and let us know you really want to join the party. So let's jump right into this from the New York Times, as they're seeing a couple senators are seeking Senator Joe Manchin. So it is hardly a secret that Mr. McConnell said that he has showed that he has wooed Mr. Manchin for years, only to have Mr. Manchin, a lifelong Democrat, resist. And Mr. Manchin this week said he had hoped there was still a place for him in the party. McConnell went on to say, obviously, we would love to have him on our team. I think he'd be more comfortable. First of all, maybe he would. I mean, so I can't deny that potential reality. But so the first thought comes straight to, hey, he's been helping us this much. But my approach to that is, he probably helps you better as a Democrat. He still passes as a Democrat for many people and many voters. He still fools certain Democratic, the White House specifically, but other Democratic senators and maybe a couple of House members into thinking that he has the best interests of the Democratic Party, of the American people at heart, because there's the D behind his name. That helps him fly under the cover and continue to do what he was doing. But let's continue on with some of these quotes from the Mitch McConnell interview where he was talking with the New York Times. Mr. McConnell said that applying pressure to keep the policy bill separate from the infrastructure measure denied Democratic leaders leverage over Mr. Manchin, who helped negotiate the infrastructure measure while delivering a bipartisan bill that met legitimate needs. He said that Mr. Trump and other Republican critics had been proven wrong. So this is, again, this is Mitch McConnell. He's saying the things that many people who saw this coming were saying. So if you don't want to believe maybe progressives because they're wild and they're radical and all they want to do is cause trouble and destroy their caucuses. Here's the guy who's saying straight up who wanted Joe Manchin to do what Joe Manchin did. And he said, well, it was great that they separated the two bills because that made it easier for me to win. So again, if we're going to keep talking about who was at fault here, and let's talk about other Democrats, or let's talk about how 50 Republicans actually opposed this as well. he's saying how the strategy that Joe Manchin pulled off worked well for him. I'm gonna let you in for 1 second, David. I'm gonna go through these last two thoughts that the New York Times had regarding Mitch McConnell's approach. I think it's a much smarter play to support the infrastructure bill. I think it was A, good for the country, and B, smart for us politically, Mitch McConnell said. Smart for us politically. When it's politically, who is it about? It's partisan, and it's based off Mitch McConnell, who is a Republican. Lastly, Kyrsten Sinema has been quite unequivocal that she is not going to break the Senate and eliminate the legislative filibuster. Thank goodness for that. So I guess Kyrsten Sinema is next on the list, David, with the people they need.
Well, a lot there. First of all, you know, I think Democrats may want to have Joe Manchin join the Republican Party and be their headache. Because the last time I checked, Joe Manchin had said one of the things that he did want in the Build Back Better bill was to increase taxes on the rich. Republicans hate that. Joe Manchin also supported universal pre-K. Republicans opposed that. There was an issue with the child tax credit that became the key stumbling block between Manchin and the Democrats. But Joe Manchin would be very much of a moderate, a centrist sort of Republican. And as we've seen, those sorts of Republicans don't last very long these days, or they get primaried. So yeah, Manchin is a pain in the you know what to Democrats. He would also be one to Republicans. And I think this is just Republicans trolling Democrats and sort of spiking the ball in the end zone because Democrats have failed to get the bill through. But I'm not so sure it's necessarily the end of it. I think there's a possibility that this gets passed in parts, that this gets broken up, or that the negotiations start anew in January. But yeah, Joe Manchin is he's a problem for Democrats. And I think that's been a problem that we've talked about all along. Democrats, yes, they've got 48 supporters of their agenda. Then they've got Sinema and Manchin, who technically give them the majority with Kamala Harris as the tiebreaker. But it's not as if they've been able to get things like, you know, the $15 minimum wage or climate change or anything else that is really on the Democrats' agenda with those two. So it's sort of like he's in no man's land. He doesn't help Democrats. I'm not so sure that Manchin would help Republicans.
Well, there's the thing. And if he did make the switch, as you point out, he'd have to show so much fealty to Donald Trump and the rest of the party the way that some of them have had to do publicly, especially if you're a new Republican that's formerly this prominent Democrat that's gotten all this attention. There's no way you can go in and have these fights with them and not just fall in line. I remember when President Trump was still in office and Joe Biden had a little bit of Joe Manchin had a bit of a dust up with him, and he kind of ceded and like said, well, you know, I mean, I pushed and I vote against you and all that. But then after it was all said and done, it was just kind of a, yeah, you're the president, I'm gonna go ahead and lay back. And so if you're definitely within the party, you're not really gonna get much further than that. You're definitely not gonna push back, especially if Donald Trump makes his return, or if he has a spawn of himself in the form of Ron DeSantis to do the same things that he was doing. So I don't know, it's maybe not that helpful, but I do agree with your point about they're potentially just trolling, but with maybe a 10% wink of maybe. But
I think Republicans would love to have Joe Manchin, who sort of marches in lockstep with everything Republicans do. I think in practice they would realize that that's not so nice for them. So they sort of like the idea more than they like it in reality. But you mentioned a pushback, and I think that's a great sort of term, because Democrats are trying to figure, well, how can we push back against Joe Manchin and how can we push back against the Republicans? I have a feeling Democrats would have an easier time defeating a Republican incumbent who's up for re-election in 2022, 2024. And there are a couple of them that are vulnerable. They'll have an easier time of beating that Republican and taking the seat, making a Democrat, than they will of either moving Joe Manchin to the left or primarying Joe Manchin and having any success against him in West Virginia. So yeah, there's a lot of opportunities to marginalize Joe Manchin in the year, 2 years ahead. And I think that's the best way to show your hatred of Joe Manchin is to make him irrelevant.
Well, they're working on it. Well, John Cornyn also joined in on it before we jump to something else. John Cornyn was the second Republican that decided to point out again publicly how he reached out to Joe Manchin. So from the insider, Senator John Cornyn said he texted Joe Manchin, inviting him to join the Republican Party after the Democratic faced a furious backlash for his opposition to Joe Biden's signature domestic bill. Cornyn, who's from Texas, told KXAN that he texted him, as we know, as a West Virginia Democrat, Joe Manchin, and said, "Joe, if they don't want you, we do." And Cornyn added that recruiting Manchin would join the GOP would be the quote, greatest Christmas gift I can think of. See, it's lines like that that I think give a lot of credit to what your point about the trolling. Oh, it's a Christmas gift. If you want to join us, we will. And he's going to tell everybody about the text messages. Have you heard about any of the rest of John Cornyn's text messages with other colleagues? Have you heard about maybe his messaging on January 6th? Have you heard about what he thinks about Donald Trump for real? Have you heard about what he thinks probably about Mitch McConnell for real? No, we know this text exchange with Joe Manchin because he wanted us to know about this text exchange with Joe Manchin.
Yeah, and I guarantee Chuck Schumer and the Democrats have had those similar conversations with Republican moderates like Lisa Murkowski and Susan Collins through the years. But to your point, for strategic reasons and maybe to protect Collins and Murkowski in the relationship, yeah, Schumer hasn't gone forward, hasn't gone public and said, oh yeah, here are my text messages saying that I tried to woo her and congratulate her and Republicans don't like you, so come join the Democratic Party. In this case, Cornyn probably realizes this is a bunch of bunk. There's no way that Manchin's really gonna come forward. So why not put it out there, have some fun, make the Democrats go crazy. And certainly some of them are at this trolling or this sort of making fun of the Democrats not getting things done. Or, and again, keeping the story going that Joe Manchin cannot be trusted among Democrats, and Cornyn and McConnell are piling on that and reinforcing the point and saying to Democrats, oh yeah, don't trust him because we're gonna try to get him.
My last thought here is, I just wonder though, like it's a good trolling exercise. It's what Republicans like to do. It's part of their agenda each term is to just troll. But I wonder though, because with this type of thing, well, we have many progressives and maybe even some Democrats that are kind of fed up with Joe Manchin and his process here as far as Build Back Better and also the infrastructure package. But when you have Republicans start saying, hey, he's a good Republican like us, maybe some of the people who still had the misconception that Joe Manchin is working for the American people or even as small as helping out Joe Biden with his agenda, that might spark a lot of Democratic voters' thoughts to say, wait, Republicans love him. Well, maybe they didn't hear progressives say that, hey, Republicans love him. So maybe them saying it might convince those folks that are potentially not understanding what's happening here.
That's such a great point that you make. And that is, yeah, I mean, look at who Joe Manchin is getting flowers from these days. And then tell us, do you really trust Joe Manchin to carry out any part of the Democratic agenda? Of course not. Joe Manchin is as in bed with corporate interests as any senator in either party. So in that sense, yeah, he fits right into a lot of what Republicans are doing, particularly regarding oil and gas and coal interests. But Joe Manchin does have some issues that he seems to care about that I think would be a thorn in the side of Republicans if rubber were ever hit the road in terms of a bill Republicans are putting together. So fun and games for the Republicans. And I'm sure Joe Manchin is appreciating the opportunity to say to Democrats, hey, you know, they're wooing me out there, so maybe you need to be a little bit nicer, because clearly Joe Manchin got his feelings hurt, which is one of the reasons that he decided not to support this bill. And he's able to say, I'm justified in having my feelings hurt, and they care about my feelings over in the GOP. No, they don't. They don't care about you, Joe Manchin. They just want to derail Democrats.
He has to know that. Hey, let's go to that next thing, because I think we should shift some gears here and go to how maybe a couple of prominent politicians from both ends of the party had a bit of a love fest. Let's start that one. President Joe Biden, he apparently triggered a bit of a love fest, a bit of an agreement, maybe even some loosening of tensions between himself and the former president, Donald Trump. This comes after he gave some president to Trump's and his administration and scientists for breaking out the vaccine rollout, which then allowed President Biden to go ahead and fill in the rest and make the rollout happen and get some jabs in people's arms and make the next thing happen. So let's listen to what Joe Biden had to say at his press conference just on Monday, I believe, where he's talking about the next steps with COVID-19 response.
Omicron is serious, potentially deadly business for unvaccinated people. Let me be clear. Thanks to the prior administration and our scientific community, America is one of the first countries to get the vaccine. And just the other day, former President Trump announced he had gotten his booster shot. It may be one of the few things he and I agree on.
The second part of that, when talking about the booster shot, I want to address that in a second separately. So I don't want you to forget about that part. But first of all, it was just the whole point of first saying, hey, so the Trump administration did their part with a part of vaccine rollout. Now there was a lot of boisterous talk and speaking about what he's done for everyone in the world and shimmy shaking and all that as it was happening, which maybe kept some people from taking him very seriously or even thinking it was going very far, knowing Donald Trump's past of complete lying. So that was maybe the hurdle that was in the way, but maybe Joe Biden here knocked a few of those down. Trump specifically responded in an interview with Fox News with a couple more, like I guess, lessened words for Joe Biden. He told Fox News, "I'm very appreciative of that. I was surprised to hear it. I think it was a terrific thing, and I think it makes a lot of people happy." Side note, whenever Donald Trump says it makes a lot of people happy, he's saying it made me happy. Continue on. Trump then repeated that he was, quote, a little bit surprised. And he said, "I think he did something very good. You know, it has to be a process of healing in this country, and that will help a lot, David." Are we backing off the Civil War talk now?
Well, I think this is brilliant, brilliant politics and strategy by Joe Biden. Because if you look at everything that's going on in Trump world, there is every indication that Donald Trump is gonna get indicted by the New York criminal grand jury, perhaps in the next couple of weeks, because of where that investigation is going. Donald Trump is headed towards a lot of pain, a legal pain. And at the same time, so many Americans are facing pain because of COVID and Omicron. And there's this effort, of course, to try to get more people vaccinated, more people to get the boosters. It is so smart for Joe Biden to say, look, we do deserve to give credit to, we should give credit to Donald Trump because of Operation Warp Speed and how quickly they were able to get FDA approval and rush the process to get the vaccines out. Because what that does is it reminds people maybe the vaccine, because it was approved under Donald Trump's watch, because Donald Trump got it out there, Donald Trump took the shot, Donald Trump has gotten the booster, maybe there are at least some people out there who will say, okay, maybe the vaccine is not so bad. And I got to tell you, JR, I think it was just the other week when I went down to Florida to a Trump event, and I was talking to folks down there about the vaccine, and a lot of them said, well, you know, it should be our choice. And I said, yeah, but Donald Trump got it approved. Donald Trump says you should take it. How could it be a problem? And they were stumped. They would say, well, I mean, that's Donald Trump. And I would say, but I thought you believed everything Donald Trump says. And a lot of folks would say, well, I do, but I still don't want to take the vaccine. It puts a lot of these folks who are hesitant to the vaccine in a bit of an awkward position. And given how Joe Biden's polling numbers are pretty low, I don't think there's anything wrong with Joe Biden now saying, okay, I'm going to be the nice guy to Donald Trump right now. Biden's not talking about January 6th. He's not talking about all the damage Donald Trump did. He can take this one narrow issue and say, yeah, Donald Trump deserves some credit for getting the vaccine out.
Yeah, and so in doing that, this is what I think people sometimes should also understand. There's nothing that politicians of this level and this kind of platform at a press conference, when they know everyone is watching, there's nothing that's off the cuff. There's nothing that's unplanned. I mean, Trump did it at times, but there's nothing that he accidentally said that, and there wasn't a thought process behind why to say that. There's been disputes about who gets credit for the vaccine, and Republicans are mad about it. Or at the end of Donald Trump's term, when he was trying to use it as a reelection tool, and he felt the Democrats were trying to suppress it to make sure he didn't win, all that was happening. And then as soon as he lost, it flipped. And this is where some Republicans had some points, because Democrats and Democratic voters were completely against the vaccine rollout, or the vaccine development, or what was happening with it. Not that it would be coming, but just believing what was happening. And then when Biden came in office, there was a lot more trust for it. Now, I believe there's an explanation for that, because no one that didn't support Donald Trump would believe anything he has to say. So if he says, hey, I have this vaccine rollout, we're operating Operation Warp Speed, it's gonna happen in 2 days, I trust me, promise. That's gonna make people go, whoa. Trump promises a lot of things to a lot of people, and they end up being garbage. So I'm not sure if I want this garbage. But after you get some scientists talk about it, and scientists reevaluate what's actually happening, what they've developed, not because of what Donald Trump was in the lab working on with his eyeglasses on in the microscope, it means that they did it. And he was talking about it, and it was the same process. So as you pointed out, the hard part then for many of his supporters is how they flipped. Now, there's a reason why many Democrats flipped. You wonder why many Republicans flipped, and kind of the answer is left that, well, Trump isn't there anymore, so I don't like this. It's a little bit tougher to go beyond. I want to go for one part, because I told you I want to talk about the booster part, because yeah, Trump did, as we talked about at that event with Bill O'Reilly, point out that he also had the booster shot. So let's go to some of this from Fox News as well. He said, it's a matter of getting people out to, ideally, to get the vaccine. If you have the mandate will destroy people's lives. This is where Trump is usually how he is. It destroys people's lives just as the vaccine saves people. He also added, I think it's really a question of tone. It's a question of trust. And hopefully the people that have had COVID, hopefully they will be given credit for that. This is where he completely went off the rails. He was already bouncing at the edge. Then Trump predicted that those who have already been infected with COVID-19 are in quote, pretty good, in pretty good shape of not getting it again or getting it in a much lighter way. They probably won't catch it, but if they do get it, it's not going to be nearly as severe, and they probably won't be hospitals involved. There's a lot of probablys, and it's not going to be nearly and possiblys and I don't knows. And before I let you respond to that part of it, David, there was also when he was going through all of this, he got booed at that event, and now he's trying to figure out which way to find some footing because he nearly died. So he's definitely on the vaccine train. He's definitely on the booster train. He's an old man who doesn't want to die.
And credit to Bill O'Reilly for showing Donald Trump the path here by Bill O'Reilly saying, I got it too. And O'Reilly says he had to show Donald Trump some compassion when the Trump audience booed him. But that portion right there of Donald Trump saying, you know, if you get the vaccine and get the booster, yes, you may still get COVID, but it's not going to be as severe. That is sort of the main point out there that I think has been lost on so many Republicans. You look up at Tucker Carlson and Laura Ingraham and all the rest, and they say, ha ha, look at these senators, triple vax, they still got COVID. Yeah, they got COVID, but they're not hospitalized, they're not sick. And to the extent that Donald Trump can help reinforce the point that this isn't about stopping you from getting COVID, it's about stopping you from getting the serious symptoms, stopping you from having to get hospitalized. And if you get the booster, you get the vaccine, the odds are you're not gonna get hospitalized. The people who will get hospitalized and might die are the people who haven't gotten vaccinated or the booster. If Donald Trump is helping Joe Biden to make that point, it's great. And as we put on the screen, I mean, you know, Biden's giving credit for vaccine development. He's not giving Donald Trump credit for the distribution. Lord knows that had it not been for the Biden administration and the sophisticated approach they took to getting this distributed, we wouldn't have had the vaccines actually available to all of us, even with the development. But Joe Biden doesn't need to make that argument right now. It's about trying to convince people, hey, Donald Trump was right to get the vaccine out there. The vaccine is safe, even for all those people who say it wasn't tested enough. It was tested enough for Donald Trump. And by the way, it can help you. And to the extent Donald Trump is now, because he's happy that Joe Biden is saying something nice about him, great, that's fine. It's smart politics. It's great strategy. It's good for the country.
Before we go to some of y'all's thoughts in this next break, my last thought, because I've been saying this since 2015, since that guy meandered down the escalator and started talking about Mexicans being dirty people. Yeah, as soon as he started his entire campaign with that, this guy has been on the self-promotion of doing all of this himself. And so as he does this, you have to use that against him. This was one of those things that was set across the board with international leaders. They said the playbook on Donald Trump is make him happy, shower him with praise, tell him how great he is, give him credit, even if he doesn't necessarily deserve it all, and he will give you whatever you want. He will call you his best friend like he did Kim Jong-un and Vladimir Putin, and then he'll give you what you want. And maybe that's what Joe Biden is now beginning to do. He's like, I'll give him a bit of credit for this, and then he'll fold. Maybe he's in the middle of folding.
Yeah, I mean, flattery gets you everywhere with Donald Trump. And I think it also underscores that for all those Republicans, conservatives who say, oh, Sleepy Joe, he's asleep at the switch. No, you have to be awake. You have to be pretty shrewd and with it politically, strategically, in terms of your own mind to realize, okay, maybe this is the time to play the flattered Donald Trump card because we've got something out there we need and Donald Trump can help us. And oh, by the way, I mean, Donald Trump is going to be shooting himself in the foot in a couple of weeks anyway when he gets indicted. So there's no harm for Joe Biden to say some nice things about Donald Trump because Democrats aren't going to really care.
With that, we're going to take our first break, you all. I want to hear what you guys have to say. I'm specifically looking for our inflatable arm tube names. If you don't come correct, I will reject some of these names. Or listen, I'm not gonna come that hard at you guys. We'll just see. I'm gonna stop being a bit of a curmudgeon on this. It's the Christmas season. Let's be happy. We'll be right back. We'll listen to you guys in a second. We're back, you guys. Hey, this time I knew it. I was looking at the camera ready for us to come back. It's only like 2 seconds. That's something you should know. But let's jump right back into it, huh, Dave?
Let's do it. Yeah. Oh, we got this one. I can't wait for this one.
So after Jesse Waters of Fox News spoke at Talking Points USA's America Fest, or was it Freedom Fest? The next one will be the other one. After he spoke at the event and was talking about ways to perform a kill shot on Fauci, and then Fauci responded. It makes you wonder what was Fox's response to all of this. But before I get to what Fox said about this whole situation, whether or not Waters should be fired over his comments, let's listen to those comments one more time, though.
Now you're going for the kill shot. The kill shot with an ambush, deadly, because he doesn't see it coming. This is when you say, Dr. Fauci, you funded risky research at a sloppy Chinese lab, the same lab that sprung this pandemic on the world. You know why people don't trust you, don't you? Boom, he is dead. He is dead. He's done. Now, how you do that? 30 seconds. That's all you need. 30 seconds. Now, you get that footage to us. You get it to Fox. You get it to Human Events. You get it to Breitbart. You get it to Daily Caller. You get it to the Turning Point pipeline. Imagine Tucker Carlson teases out of the A block, coming up. Brave college student confronts Lord Fauci at dinner. Exclusive footage, right back. Get us that. That's what we want.
David, I'm gonna let you go first.
Well, first of all, I wonder if Fox News would air the footage of Dr. Fauci just totally destroying, to use rhetorical words, since Fox News says that's okay, destroying Jesse Waters, right? I mean, because look, Dr. Fauci has answered that question over and over about the Chinese lab and his support for it. So there's nothing that would surprise Dr. Fauci. This wouldn't be a surprise if anybody, Senator, a young college student, a Jesse Waters, Fox personality, if anybody asked him about it, it's not gonna catch him by surprise. So that's moronic. In fact, Fauci would probably hit it out of the park. Secondly, Jesse Waters chose to describe this as a kill shot in an ambush. He didn't say this would be a killer question or a deadly rhetorical retort or an awesome one-liner to embarrass him. No, he used the term kill shot. He would be dead. Not that he would be embarrassed, not that Fauci would be humiliated, but that Fauci would be dead. I have a feeling that if somebody wrote to Fox News management or talent and said, you know, I'm gonna hold you guys accountable by slitting your throat, by committing homicide against you, by decapitating you, by burning you. I have a feeling Fox News would go crazy if the police did not go and take some action against the person who did that. But what does Fox say? Oh no, he was just speaking rhetorically. If you look at the context, it's okay. No, it's not okay. It is never okay to use that language. Jesse has been a jackass for a long time. Now he has proven once and again, he has no self-respect, he has no shame, and I guarantee he has now put his Fox News colleagues and executives in danger.
Well, I mean, I wonder which ones, because there's some that we're pushing back on, even when Tucker Carlson was saying, we saw some of the reports about the now departed Chris Wallace, and then also Brett Baer, who had issues with the way that Tucker Carlson was going about things. But I wonder, maybe this is a calculated event, or maybe he got caught up in the moment of being at Talking Point USA's event, and he has to get caught up in the violent rhetoric. I don't know, but for full purposes of the Fox News response to this, after Dr. Fauci did call for his firing, but also didn't even call for it. Dr. Fauci said, I doubt anything will even happen to the guy, but he should be fired on the spot. Well, Dr. Fauci was right. Let's get this statement from Fox News, which said, based on the watching of the full clip and reading the entire transcript, it's more than clear that Jesse Waters was using a metaphor for asking hard-hitting questions to Dr. Fauci about gain-of-function research, and his words have been twisted completely out of context. I have a good idea. What's that context? What's the rest of the things that he was saying that takes away the fact that kill shot, he's dead, saying multiple times, and get that and send it to us, we'll make you famous. What about all that doesn't match up with what's been twisted out of context for what he was saying? On this expert in this field, who we've already talked about, has gotten death threats. This from the organization who, after a mentally unstable, I think homeless gentleman, burned their Christmas tree down outside and no one was hurt, but it was a bit of a startling scene. I'm willing to admit that. But you know what they said after the Christmas tree was burned down and then the guy was eventually let out of jail? How could they? Our criminal justice system is upside down. This is why crime is rampant in New York and LA and San Francisco, because we're letting people like this who are trying to kill us over your Christmas tree outside of security and your walls, and you on the 105th floor talking and pushing all kinds of lies on a daily basis. While you're doing that, you're concerned about how you're going to die and you've been threatened. But Dr. Fauci, who has gotten absolute death threats, and then one of your, I guess, contributors, hosts, goes to this event and says in completely explicit terms, we're gonna make you famous. Hey, Kyle Rittenhouse just spoke before me whenever he spoke. We made him famous just now. Don't you wanna be another Kyle Rittenhouse? All this is baked into the atmosphere of that situation. And as you point out, David, you went to one of these events and they get riled up. They build off of each other's energy. We got January 6th rioters who said, I don't know, I just walked up because everyone's getting all energetic, so I joined in. That's how riots work. That's how people who are looking to kill and do it indiscriminately and later say, I don't know, Donald Trump told me to do it, which January 6th rioters are also saying. So after someone goes up and decides to get famous on Tucker Carlson's show at the behest of Jesse Waters, and they say, hey, Jesse Waters told me to do it. Are we gonna blame it on Antifa? Are we gonna blame it on Democrats? Are we gonna blame it on Adam Schiff? Are we gonna blame it on Joe Biden? Who are we gonna blame it on next when we're ready for this? It's disgusting.
Well, and you know, I keep going back to, was it Fox and Freaks, Fox and Friends, who after the Christmas tree burning called it a tragedy. And nobody was injured. That's not a tragedy. And again, Fox News twists things. I mean, it's so rich of Fox to say, oh, this is being taken out of context. When Jesse Waters, he made his name working for Bill O'Reilly by interviewing people and taking their words out of context and twisting it around to somehow make it entertaining. And I'll go back to Fox 20 years to talk about how much things have changed, because some people know that I worked for Fox News more than 20 years ago. And I'll never forget, I was asked to do a ambush stakeout interview with Gary Condit, a Democratic congressman who had perhaps allegedly at the time maybe been involved in the disappearance of Chandra Levy. It was proven that he was not, but there were a lot of questions hanging in the air. So I was told, go and interview Congressman Condit. So I got him walking across the Capitol, sticking a microphone in his face saying, did you have anything to do with Chandra Levy's appearance? Did you know that Chandra Levy, and peppering him with questions over and over? He didn't respond. It was sort of a viral video. Fox loved it. The entertainers loved it. I got pulled aside by Brit Hume and some of the news people who said, you know, that was kind of hectoring Congressman Condit a bit, and you just got to sort of be kind of careful. And I said, okay, if I had come back and on the air saying, oh yeah, I delivered a kill shot to Gary Condit, I got him dead, I would have been out in a heartbeat. Now, the crazies have taken over Fox News, and this nonsense is celebrated. It is dangerous, it is reckless, and again, Fox, it refuses to live by these standards when it's applied to themselves.
It seems that they've riled up an audience to be a certain kind of way, and now in order to continue to retain that audience, they have to go further. It's the way that grifters do. In their point, they, after you've gotten one person going over the top, you have to go further over the top. Yes. In order to make sure that you're still heard, make sure you're still watched. And then, like you said, the guys, who's a Brit Hume, you said, talked to you at that point. You had the Brett Bears and the Wasps of the world who were on the verge of leaving, and one has already left. So,
well, and that's the thing is, I mean, I think if Brett Bear had any self-respect, he would leave as well. I mean, at a certain point, you stop saying, you know what, I'm trying to fight these battles internally. But when you keep losing and losing and losing, Brett Baer is going to be defined by the organization that he has been with for 20 plus years. This is an organization that has turned to absolute poison. And no amount of claiming, oh, but we're news in their opinion, no. When you have the power that Brett Baer does, you have to use it. Chris Wallace tried to use it. He failed. He said, I don't want to be part of this anymore. And he left. Brett Baer can claim that, oh no, we're the news side and we're for it. No, you're not. And if you have any self-respect, if you have any shame, you will go to management and say, either you get rid of Jesse Waters or I'm going to get out of here myself. But Brett likes the moolah too much and doesn't have that sort of self-respect. So he's just going to keep doing his thing.
I was just going to say, it's hard to switch out once you've, and also the comfort of being in a particular place and knowing the routine and knowing you're in a position and knowing it's a flow. It's like with any other job. And I'm sure everyone knows this, but it's like with any other job. If you switch and go to a new job, there's a bit of the learning period or just the transitional period that's just uncomfortable. And it's great that you have a different job, great new job, but you still have to go through the changes. And if nothing has absolutely changed or forced you out at your previous one where you're making, as you point out, tons of money, why leave? Well, I think he's gonna have to answer that question sooner or later, and probably many other people. And this goes to producers and editors, anyone else who's involved with this that probably doesn't want to have to be associated with this potential fallout. We're gonna get some more of you guys' comments now. We're gonna take our second break, but when we do get back though, we're gonna get to some more violence and some more violent rhetoric, and potential for Republicans to really get their foot soldiers moving on the ground. We'll talk to you guys in a second. Hey, you guys, what's up? I'm ready. Ready to do this again?
Yeah. I'm there too.
Yeah. Hey, if you're ready, I'm ready, David.
I'm ready. All right.
Let's go right into this next story.
We're going to face some dark times as a nation. I genuinely believe that. I think we have an opportunity in the next 4 to 6 years to prevent kinetic American forces, countrymen on countrymen, from ever meeting. And I think that is incumbent upon all of us. Although I have no doubt that we'd be victorious if that ever happened. But remember, that would be so immoral and wrong if we just said, hey, you know what? Let's just kick off a civil war and then we'll just go ahead and go to that point. No, my friends, we were called to be innocent as doves, yes, but we were also called to be shrewd as snakes. And we as conservatives, it's time for us to get shrewd. It's time for us, in Genesis, it talks about taking dominion of the earth. You read that original word. I mean, it means go out and take control of it. Dominate the earth that you're given. Fill it. And my friends, the only way we're gonna do that is if we stop playing this lackluster, milquetoast, defensive game.
That's Representative Madison Cawthorn, North Carolina. Again, going back to the well on talking about violence, civil war, taking up arms against our fellow Americans. Oh, but I don't mean it that way. I mean, I would hate for us to take up arms against our fellow American, but our fellow American needs to have arms taken up against him. But I don't mean take up against him, I mean take it up against him. He keeps going through the same cycle of pushing supporters to feel the need to think they need to spark some kind of civil war against their political opponents, or honestly, other Americans who vote differently. That's really what it is. Not even a political opponent, because most of these people aren't political. They're just following this team mentality, and I gotta shoot my other teammate because the civil war has to start now. Either way it goes, he was also speaking at Talking Point USA's America Fest or Freedom Fest or Patriot Fest or one of those, all the same. And was still talking about more civil war. But this isn't even the first time he was pushing these types of things. So before, there's an article here where he said Madison Cawthorn is openly talking about civil war at this point. This is previous to that. This isn't just now. But he talked about bloodshed and suggested, as he did just on Tuesday, we need to pick up arms to defend this whole thing that Donald Trump is pushing about being cheated out of his election victory. Also in August, Representative Madison Cawthorn calls January 6th rioters political prisoners, and he warns of bloodshed at this other event there. There was also a Board of Elections meeting. I almost forgot about this one. He said, if our election systems continue to be rigged and continue to be stolen, then it's going to lead to one place, and that's bloodshed. Great. And I will tell you, as much as I'm willing to defend our liberty at all costs, there's nothing I would dread doing more than having to pick up arms against a fellow American. No, I'm not reading script of what you just heard him say at this Talking Points event. He says it over and over and over again, and thinks it's just a fun way to get reelected. It's a side show to make sure he has support from the most hateful people in the country. Either way it goes, we're still seeing this march to some kind of civil war that, honestly, David, I don't know what that would look like.
Well, I think nobody needs to pick up arms. They need to pick up stones and rocks. Because if Madison Cawthorn is going to quote Genesis, let's talk about the fact that this Turning Points conference happened on the Sabbath. And Genesis says that if you violate the Sabbath, you should be stoned to death with rocks. So maybe we pick up some stones and start throwing them at the stage. These people are such hypocrites. They're such morons. And the fact of the matter is, Madison Cawthorn is not gonna pick up an arm or pick up a weapon and be the first one to fire it. He's not even gonna be at the back of the line. He's gonna be hiding in his little house, cheering on TV or on social media, the people who are doing the fighting, who are shedding the blood. He's not gonna be involved in that. These guys talk like a tough game, like I'm a tough guy. We might have to pick up arms, we might have to fight, we might have to have bloodshed. He doesn't know the first thing about it. And the people who do know anything about bloodshed are the people who we should be listening to, the people who are former veterans, people who are police, law enforcement, people who have seen other people die in the streets. Those are the people who are saying, you know what? We're gonna resolve our differences, but we're gonna do it peacefully. We're not gonna listen to these morons like Madison Cawthorn Unfortunately, though, you have young, impressionable audiences like the Turning Points USA folks, younger college students who think, oh, yeah, maybe we need a civil war. I mean, it's insanity.
Yeah, and I'm not sure how much thought goes behind that. But again, as you point out, these impressionable minds at this particular event, that they know that's why it's set up in this particular way. That's why they talk about how CRT and mask wearing and everything that's happening in our schools is indoctrinating our children with responsibility and knowledge. So they know that teaching kids right and wrong, or at least reality and BS, is a thing. So they're pushing hard for making sure that they're brainwashing enough minds to think the way they do, so they can continue this progression of hatred and violence and exclusionary policies. But just to highlight that, Trump Jr. was saying similar things. Part of what Cawthorn was saying in that video we just played was, we're being peaceful in a way. We're being peaceful, but we got to stop doing that. Trump Jr., also at the same event, this is just consistently getting pushed, was saying, yeah, that whole Bible thing about turn the other cheek, we tried that. No, you didn't, first of all. But we tried that. And it's about time we stopped doing that because we keep losing. What have they lost? They still said they haven't lost the election, that they did lose. And after losing it, they're still controlling the agenda, as we see as they're pulling Joe Manchin around to do their bidding. So they're, first of all, they haven't lost anything, but he'll say that and then tell them, we got to stop turning the other cheek and start fighting. This is a constant movement. And to highlight that one more time, a great friend of the show, Lauren Windsor, with the Undercurrent, she's been getting a lot of these underground videos. She spoke to Louie Gohmert at an event as well, and posed, of course, as a conservative, her and her colleague there. And they asked Louie Gohmert about potential violence. Watch this.
Yo, I was there in the 6th, and thank you for fighting for all of us, man. Was there more we could have done?
Yeah, there's a lot more, but we need a lot more people doing it than just a handful of us.
Keep fighting for us.
They just so.
And are we getting towards like Second Amendment solutions at some point? Is it going to keep happening? Yeah. Or are we going to fix it? You think we are?
Well, I'm still in it because I think we can.
Thank you for fighting. Thank you, sir.
I appreciate it.
Maybe we need some Second Amendment solutions. And he gave a guy a little nod and said, hey, we need more. We can't just have a few doing it, Louie Gohmert says. We need more. I need more foot soldiers. I need more violent people. I need you guys to think about your Second Amendment, which of course, I guess is based in shooting fellow Americans when you're mad at them. That's the Republican Party we have right now. It's across the board, it seems.
Yeah, and that's the theme that runs through all of this. And that is running through the party like no tomorrow. And that is, the theme is, we can't win on our ideas. We can't convince Democrats and most of the country to support our ideas. We just have these disagreements. And so, you know what? The way we settle our disagreements is we've got to fight them. We have to have a violent confrontation, because they can't win on the merits. They can't win in a civilized debate. That's a pretty dangerous place to be. And it reminds me of, you know, the 4 and 5 year olds on the playground, when little Johnny is accused of breaking the rules. Instead of recognizing that he broke the rules or that he's losing the game, he picks a fight with another kid, or he grabs the ball and tries to go home. That's where the petulant Republican Party is now. And we're seeing it Louie Gohmert, we're seeing it with Fox News, we're seeing it with Madison Cawthorn. It goes on and on. And at a certain point, somebody, Liz Cheney, maybe somebody else who's sort of more rational thinking, they're trying to stand up and say, no, there are basic rules and institutions we have to respect, and violent confrontation is not the answer. But I fear for how this Republican battle is going to turn out and what it means for the direction of the country.
We'll see. It seems that violence seems to be the way. But as we transition to this next story, violence does appear to be something that's kind of happening even outside of political lines, or maybe it wasn't. Let's start this now. What you're seeing there is a huge brawl that broke out at Miami's International Airport, at the gate, near the gate, where passengers were looking to get on a chartered flight. So some of the details of what it was that happened, they're still forming exactly how it went down, but here's some details from NBC News. So the scuffle broke out after police were called to gate H8 shortly after 6:30 over disturbance surrounding a delayed charter flight. That's at the Miami-Dade Police Department told. Officers found a, quote, unruly passenger who appeared to have taken the keys to an airport golf cart, and he was refusing to let the worker leave. So I guess this is a a moment of, well, you're not going to leave if I can't leave. Well, probably. Continuing on, it's unclear what exactly unfolded in the moments that led up to that scuffle and the circumstances around the officer's drawing of a weapon, which we'll show you in 1 second because that was crazy. But that is being investigated about his movement. So also, they arrested a couple people involved in this, and they could be facing some serious fines and penalties and jail time. But first, let's watch the second end of that. Traveling for the holidays, David?
Well, you know, I was going to make a golf cart pun about this is just how those folks roll, but you know, that wouldn't work. Look, traveling is a nightmare these days. It's crowded. You got to wear these masks. It's frustrating. It's not comfortable. People are in a bad mood because of the pandemic and what everybody's been through the last 2 years. So traveling is a mess. Having said that, I'm relieved that because, you know, I'm not surprised that fights like this break out. People are frustrated. People take out their aggressions and frustrations. I'm just constantly relieved that people aren't getting seriously hurt. And maybe that says something that, well, okay, it's okay to punch somebody. It's okay to wrestle around on the floor, but it's not okay to pull out a gun and actually shoot somebody. And so if that's the standard, then okay, some people are going to fight. Some people are going to scream at each other. But as long as nobody's getting, you know, lethal in their force, you know, that's great. I think where it becomes really problematic, though, is if somebody does say, okay, enough with the fist, now I'm going to pull out my weapon, which hopefully they wouldn't have because they wouldn't get it past security.
Well, this is definitely since the officer probably knew that did pull out the weapon there and pointed at the guy that charged at him. Then we have a different situation. So he felt threatened, pulled out his weapon, and you have hundreds of other people in the general area. I'd say maybe 100 in that particular space. And that's going to be tough. So you pull out your weapon, and then what are you going to do with it? I mean, I'm not sure if police have this thought process, but if you pull out your weapon, maybe use it. They probably have that thought every time they do because they figure, I'm going to do it now. I don't know if it's there as a thought of, let me go ahead and try and calm the crowd down and have them jump back and understand that I could really murder a few people here, maybe some children that are bystanders that are just trying to get on a flight as well. But that decision just seemed a little bit off for me. Yes, he was being attacked. Yes, he was being snatched around. Yes, the guy was coming at him again. Man, I kind of envisioned how bad that could have ended up if he decided to go ahead and open fire in that crowd to shoot one guy and then get four others.
Yeah, and look, I mean, I gotta wonder. I mean, look, some of the people who were fighting were African American. It was a white cop who pulled out a firearm. To me, that just there are some questions right there. Why didn't the cop first, I don't know, pull out a taser or try to de-escalate somehow? It just seems like there is a perception that some law enforcement people who are rather unsophisticated, not well trained, or doing it just because they're sadistic, they seem to go right to, oh, I must assert my authority, my power over anybody, particularly if it's somebody who looks different than me. And they pull out a weapon, and then you have all the dangers of an airport. Really? You're going to pull out a gun in an airport when you know that people don't have weapons there? There's all sorts of problems and troubles with this. I'm sort of curious, where was that charter flight headed? I mean,
so I was wondering, since a charter flight. Okay, so charter flights, I assume people with a little bit more of a they're not sitting on standby on Southwest, you know.
You're taking a charter to Club Med or a charter to Cuba or going to some, you know, Grand Cayman or something. You'd be happy.
Exactly. Unless, I was like, these people should be in a good mood. I was thinking, oh, these people have been sitting there overnight. Their flight got delayed, canceled, moved on, tickets sold, bumped off, and then they're mad. No, this is a charter flight, bro.
Yeah, I mean, look, I can also understand. You put up with everything we put up for the last 2 years, and suddenly your plan to have a, you know, fruity adult beverage tonight or drink with a little umbrella in it is ruined because the charter flight got canceled. Yeah, I'd be pissed too. I'd be infuriated, particularly if it was, you know, canceled for the wrong reasons or because somebody was inept or they overbooked or there was an engine problem. Sure. But that doesn't mean you start squaring off with people and stealing golf carts.
You know? There has to be a point when you just calm down and know that it's going to be okay. So it will be okay because we have an extra 30 minutes left to go of the show. David and I will be back to discuss more, hopefully not Michigan football, but probably wacky inflatable men. Please join me again after this.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.